And welcome back in to GameDaySportsRadio.com. Friday's Inside the Numbers right here, brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. All right, Mike, let's move to the NFL. We'll talk about the 1 p.m. game. That's going to be the Pats and the Bears playing in Chicago. New England 4-2 coming off a Sunday night victory over Kansas City. Chicago 3-2. Tough loss to the Dolphins, 31-28 in overtime.
Bears blew an 11-point second-half lead in Miami, and that was against a second-string quarterback. This week, they faced Tom Brady. The game is in Chicago. Pats are favored by 3 or 3.5. Most casinos have it 3 now. The total is 49. Just a few weeks ago, Coach, remember we were on several shows and segments, and the Pats were 1-2, and there was some talk in the media about how New England's AFC East title streak was in jeopardy at ending at 9. Well, since then, they've won 3 in a row, and they're back atop the AFC East division.
Yeah, but now let's go and clarify that neither you or I said that their streak was going to end at 9. That were other people that was on the show. That was not us. We listen, if there was ever any doubt, Tom Brady showed Sunday night that he's still Tom Brady. You know, yeah, he may be 83 years old. He's still Tom Brady, okay? And the way he gave up his body for that touchdown run late there in the game, he's Tom Brady. He's still the GOAT, no doubt about it. Chicago, they feel like they let one get away at Miami after blowing that lead. This week, the defense, they're beat up a little bit. Several listed as questionable, including Khalil Mack. Now, this is a unit that's only giving up 83 rushing yards per game, second in the league only behind the Saints.
Yeah, and Mack's a game changer. Look back the few times when Tom Brady ever looks human. It's not often, but it's when his offensive line gets beaten badly. This year, it happened in Jacksonville. Patriots were lost by 11, and it wasn't that close. When I take a look at numbers in this game, the Patriots, they missed covering last week by a half a point, but they are still the best covering team in the league. New England has covered 31 of their last 44 games. They've covered 14 of their last 19 road trips. My take on this game is the under. I don't have a lot of great stats or trends to back the under, but when I look at the point spread and the matchup in the trenches, it just tells me under 49.
Cowboys, Redskins, great historical NFL rivalry. They have gone at each other for a long, long time. I grew up watching this rivalry every day on Thanksgiving. Of course, that's kind of changed a little bit. But what hasn't changed is these two franchises don't like each other. Both teams are looking to break the cycle of win 1 week, lose 1 week, win the next. And barring a tie, the cycle will break for one of them as they're both coming off wins. Cowboys finally put together a complete game last week and won 40-7 over Jacksonville, and the Redskins got by Carolina 23-17.
Good win for Washington. They were a home dog. They pulled off a good win against Carolina. And as you said, look, Dallas just steamrolled Jacksonville. And that NFC East division, it's wide open. You have Washington at 3-2, Dallas and Philly both at 3-3.
Dak Prescott, he seems to be pulling out of his early season sophomore slump. But I really attribute a lot of that to offensive line play. He didn't have a whole lot of time to throw the football, and he was running for his life, basically. And the offensive line play has stepped up and has gotten better. Alex Smith coming over from Kansas City, I think it's a good fit for Jay Gruden's offensive system. Overall, though, both offenses have struggled, not where they want to be. Each are toward the bottom of the league in production. But both these defenses have been stout. Now, the Redskins, they did lose to the Saints 2 weeks ago, 43-19, but that was the only game where either of these two defenses have played poorly.
Well, Washington just ran into a buzzsaw that night. It was the Superdome at night, Drew Brees going for the all-time passing yards record. That was just a tough situation. I look for this game to have much less scoring. The last five meetings all went over. But the under, 12-3 in Dallas's last 15 games. Washington is also an under team. I think Dallas is going to run Zeke. They're going to attempt to control the clock, just like they did last week.
Moving on to the Sunday night game, we've got the Bengals going to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Chiefs are 5-1. They lost that heartbreaker in New England last Sunday night, and the Bengals are 4-2, lost 28-21 to Big Ben and the Steelers in Cincinnati. And this Sunday night, they're going to meet in Kansas City on NBC. Now, you know I'm a Browns fan, but the best uniform in the NFL to me is that red and gold of Kansas City. The Jets and the Chiefs, they were my AFL teams. And again, yes, I'm old enough to remember back when there was a National Football League and an American Football League. They were two different leagues. But I've always loved the Chiefs' look. You know, my childhood memories, Hank Stram being the head coach, Lenny Dawson at quarterback. You've got Otis Taylor catching passes, Ed Podolak, Mike Garrett's in the backfield. Buck Buchanan's anchoring a great defense. They're beating up on the Vikings 23-7 in Super Bowl IV. Well, guess what? You know, those are my childhood memories. Kids today, one day they'll look back, if they're Chiefs fans, they'll remember Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Eric Berry, and those guys. Because let me tell you something, Mike. Even coming off that loss in New England, there is a bright, bright future in Kansas City for the Chiefs.
Yeah, those players you mentioned, they're all young. And especially Mahomes, and only in his second year. Tyreek Hill's young. Kareem Hunt, I believe, in his second or third year. Chiefs look good, and they're back at home. Vegas rates Kansas City as the second or third best home field advantage in the NFL. That's the last I saw. Seattle's usually number one. The Bengals, we know they can't beat Pittsburgh, but they have won four of their last six regular season road games, including wins over Atlanta, Baltimore, and then the Broncos last year when the Broncos were better last year. Kansas City, they do have the luxury of – they don't have the luxury of thinking back to what could have happened in New England last week, because the Bengals, they're capable of pulling the upset here.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis in his 16th season as head coach in Cincinnati. You know, he's had a solid career, but he's never won a playoff game, 0-7 in the playoffs, and he's had losing records the last two seasons. He's feeling a little heat this year. He needs to reach the playoffs again, and a win in the playoffs would be nice and really help him, but he definitely needs to be in the playoffs. And he has Andy Dalton, who's been his quarterback for eight seasons now. And much like Lewis, overall very solid, but his production has dropped off last year. He's battled some nagging injuries, and this past offseason, some within the organization, they wanted Dalton traded, and A.J. McCarron, the young gun out of Alabama, who's now back up with the Raiders, they wanted him named the starter. However, Marvin Lewis vetoed that. He's going to sink or swim with Andy Dalton. That's his guy.
Yeah. Trading McCarron left no doubt about his loyalty to Dalton. When I take a look at numbers in the game, both teams are very solid against the point spread. Bengals have covered 8 of their last 9 versus AFC teams. The Chiefs have covered 10 of their last 11 games going back to last season. Nearly 70% of the early tickets are on Kansas City, and most casinos have not moved the line above 6. It looks to me like Vegas is thinking the Bengals are the sharp play here.
Okay, Mike, listen, the production staff, obviously, and it, no offense to them, it's not their fault. It's a Monday night game, so we're going to talk about it. The Giants, coming here to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Now, I got some advice for the NFL. I'm sure that they're really interested. But don't sit the Monday night schedule in the summer. I mean, I get the reasoning about sitting the schedule, but just wait. Just name the game a couple of weeks before the matchup, and you get kind of to pick the best one. You know, it's not going to make that big of a deal. Because besides hardcore fans of the 2-4 Falcons and the 1-5 Giants, who's going to watch this? I mean, I will because I have to. But if I didn't have to, I wouldn't. Now, if it were New England and Chicago this week, yeah, I'd tune in. But not this. And, I'm right here in Atlanta. I mean, this game should be a Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. kick.
Agreed. The viewership of this game will be, as you said, fans of both teams, fantasy football owners, and inveterate gamblers that are hoping to recover losses from the weekend. As of today, from a handicapping standpoint, I don't see any value in this game.
Yeah, Giants, I mean, they're having a battle locker room dissension. Of course, Odell Beckham Jr., he's leading that charge. Eli Manning, you know, he's got to be thinking, you know, with a couple of Super Bowl rings that, hey, you know, maybe a trade or a retirement wouldn't be so bad right now. You know, get a new view from somewhere else. I mean, the bottom line, the Giants are a dumpster fire, and it won't be put out anytime soon. Now, the Falcons, there's not any dissension with the Falcons. However, they've always played to their defense under Dan Quinn. And then now, there is no defense. They're 31st in total defense, unheard of. Atlanta's offense and Matt Ryan in the past few seasons, they've taken some criticism and some harsh criticism, and some of it warranted. I'll give them that, but not this year. Steve Sarkisian, an offensive coordinator, he's done a great job this year. Ryan is the league's third leading passer. The team's number 6 in total offense, number 4 in turnover margin, and they're scoring 28 points a game. You know, the record is not on the offense this year. No way. But the Giants, you know, maybe they are a 1-5 team, but the Falcons, they shouldn't be 2-4.
They shouldn't, but when you play defense that poorly, that's where they are. And as far as their opponent, Monday night, the Giants, they're basically terrible in a lot of areas. They lack team chemistry, as you alluded to, and that might be the most crucial area where they lack. Falcons, they're in the cellar of the NFC South. I don't see Atlanta coming back to win that division, and they're a long shot to get a wild card spot. But on the bright side for Falcons fans, they're only 2 games back in the wild card race, and they have 10 games remaining. The problem is, I just don't see the defense playing well enough to make up the gap.
Yeah, I don't either. And if the Falcons end up getting in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be because that they've all of a sudden, you know, become great again. I think it's going to be the fact that they're just going to be the best of a bunch of mediocre teams and won the right games at the right time. I think that's what we're going to have if they get in the playoffs. But I don't even see them getting into playoffs.
No, I don't. Even though they're 2 games back, there's too many teams bunched up, and the Falcons are in a tough division. They have a tougher schedule. We've seen teams change, turn things around mid-season, but I don't think the Falcons will.
Mike, you have a good weekend. I know your weekend is a lot more stressful than my weekends are. I'm just sitting there flipping through channels and watching games. You're actually working, so you know, the only thing I'm working on is just trying to pick up a few things so we can talk about it on Monday when we come back and recap the college games. And then Tuesday, are we doing the NFL recap on Tuesday? You going to be able to do it on Tuesday this week?
Yeah, well, I think we'll have Monday morning blitz and the Tuesday NFL recap. And here in about an hour, I have to go to an unnamed show on the West Coast. And, Coach, I say unnamed because I'm going to point this out. It's really surprising to me. Obviously, I don't have any affiliation to any teams that are east of the Mississippi or any teams at all. But when I come on there and point out irrefutable facts when it comes to college football, it's amazing to me how they – I understand maybe they just make me the bad guy because I point out that, hey, the SEC does this and Alabama's stats are that and so on. But it's amazing to me. There's a lot of resentment out there from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, when we're out there on L.A., whether it's together or separately or what have you, And I think it comes more at you than me, because I coaching out west for a while. You know, I appreciate football out there, appreciate what they do, but you know, when you look at it, facts are facts, and you can't get around it. And you know, I do agree with the argument. You and I have had this discussion many times, and we disagree on this. I wish that the SEC would punt one of the 1AA games that they play and play another conference game. I wish they would do that. But again, facts are facts, and I totally get what you're talking about when we're out there on the West Coast and we're going face to face with those guys. You know, they give us some they give us some trash talk. They do.
Yeah, but their arguments very rarely hold water, because all we're doing is pointing out, okay, when this team faces top-tier teams, here are the results. For instance, when Alabama starts the year with Power 5 teams every game right out of the gate, they've won 10 in a row, and it was Wisconsin, Michigan, USC, and so on, and they don't even acknowledge it, and they go on to how Alabama played Mercer. Right. So it's a little bit frustrating from that standpoint. But real quick, right before we got into this, or during this discussion, you mentioned how we disagree on the SEC playing two 1AA teams. We don't really disagree on that. All I'm saying, have been saying, is I don't want the SEC, the Auburns, the LSUs, the Alabamas, to stop playing that top-tier marquee game to start of the season. So I if it means having to eat watching a 1AA team, I'm willing to do it.
I got you. All right, Mike. Well, we'll talk to you again on Monday morning. You have a great weekend. And I want to remind everyone that Inside the Numbers, brought to you by State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. We'll be right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com.